Give it to me, baby bird. I've hit record. That was true waffle.
Welcome. Go. Welcome. Welcome to Opinion Havers, a movie podcast for dead gay musicians. I'm Cody.
And I'm Tyler.
There are ghosts listening to this.
Did we watch the same movie?
Oh, no. Wait. Hold on. Wait. Wait. What movie do you think we're doing? What?
Last Christmas.
Okay, good. We watched Last Christmas. I'm Cody.
I'm Tyler.
We watched Last Christmas, which is a film. This is a surprise episode. I went out and saw this movie. I saw this movie because my fiance,
how dare you? I
wanted
brought it up to
watch this movie.
No. I said it to you.
How dare you? My fiance wanted to watch this movie. Later on, Tyler's like, why don't we record Last Christmas? I was like, hold up. Let's do it. I didn't know we were going to do an episode on this. I was just seeing it. I just saw it. I just saw it.
And I saw it because my wife wanted to see it.
And you popped up and you were like, we might should do an episode on this. And I said, yes. And here we are.
Every step of this movie, I thought, I need to know Cody's opinion on this movie.
It's a complicated opinion. It's a complicated film.
Is it?
There's a lot. Tyler, if you don't think there's a lot to this movie, I don't know. Did we watch the same movie? Let's say the name of the movie we watched on three. 1, 2, 3.
Last Vacation.
Christmas. All right. Can you give us a brief synopsis of this film? Do it. I dare you to do it.
Daenerys Targaryen she's an elf, and there's an Asian guy that she falls in love with, but then she cuts out her own, she gets her heart cut out, broken, but she gets a new one, and he was going to give it to her anyway, and there's a Danish person. And then she sings the song at the end.
So, first off, great job. Second off, who is the Danish person in this movie?
The dude! He's Danish or something, isn't he?
Who? What dude?
The random guy was Santa?
Maybe he was. Okay.
They say his name. They call him the boy is what she calls him.
Right, because the owner of the shop she works for is Chinese?
Yes.
And then she falls in love with someone from a different country who's not British, even though they're in England. And I know shot. Okay, we're back on board.
Yeah. I'll
great job
to you.
Great synopsis.
Thank you.
Let me give you my hot takes on this movie.
Give it to me.
I think...
Cody, let me stop you right there. Here's what I want from this right now.
Why?
I know this is not a rant episode, so I'm not suggesting a rant.
Yeah.
But I want you to feel free to just... You know what? Let's do it. What form of transportation do we have? We'll hop in your dad's Uber.
Yeah.
Okay. Uber to Spoiler Town, UK.
Spoilingham Manor?
Yes. Spoiling Chestershire. And I want you to feel free to let loose everything that you feel right now about this film.
All right. So here's the thing. From the get-go, I was lost. Because it starts, and it's like, written by Emma Thompson. And I said, what? Emma Thompson wrote a movie?
Yes.
Emma Thompson is a supporting actress in a movie? Furthermore, Paul Feig directed this movie.
Yes.
The director of Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
Wrote a directed a movie he didn't write, but was written by Emma Thompson. Emma yes. Thompson is in this movie, and she plays a Ukrainian woman.
Yes.
I was so lost in so many ways. Okay.
Wait, was she... No, she's not Ukrainian. Was it the Yugoslavian, right?
Yeah, it was some part of the former...
Former Yugoslavia?
Yeah, exactly. Eastern Bloc.
They fled the country. Their dad is a lawyer. They wanted that kind of story. You know, classic Christmas movie story.
Yeah. It's a Christmas movie, and it's based on a Christmas song. It is also a tribute to George Michael's discography in general. And I say, why not? She's a George Michael fan. They mentioned that he's underappreciated, okay? And here's the thing. Other musical tribute movies in the last 365 days. Number one, Bohemian Rhapsody for Queen. Number two, The Beatles, Yesterday, all right? That was a movie. Rocket Man for Elton John. the one about the Pakistani kid who likes Bruce Springsteen.
What?
And so why not a Christmas movie about George Michael? Like, we did it in 1 year.
The fact that this is about George Michael.
It is called Blinded by the Light. Look it up. It's about a Pakistani kid who was inspired by the sound and song of Bruce Springsteen. Didn't hear it. Heard good things. All right. So I don't know what happened. I don't know what we did to deserve this whirlwind of musical tribute films. But that's a whole list. That's just off the top of my head. Like, there could have been more that I missed. So why not make a Christmas one, you know? Like, this is a Hallmark movie that was made by a studio and put in theaters. Like,
that's exactly what it is. That's
what it is. But it's not, because it gets dark for a minute. Like, it takes some turns. All right. Go ahead.
As someone who recently purchased Hallmark's streaming service for my wife and has been subjected to snippets of many Hallmark movies, it's exactly a Hallmark movie. This is how they all are. The only difference is which person's intern saw this script first. This is literally like...
Normally, the studios pass on this movie, and it goes to a TV channel like Hallmark.
Yes.
Instead, this intern was like, this is it, we're taking this.
Yeah.
Except that can't be how it happened, because Emma Thompson wrote it. What? Who funded it?
Emma Thompson, probably.
Okay. So,
it's not
okay.
Like...
So, Daenerys Targaryen,
yes,
plays a promiscuous, hot mess, Christmas elf woman.
Yes,
she sleeps around.
Yes,
for lodging. She works at a Christmas store.
All a year-round Christmas
store. Year-round Christmas store. But this does take place around the holidays.
Yes.
Okay.
So in this plot, by the way, in the Wikipedia plot synopsis, it references her job as a dead-end job. She doesn't get a different job.
No.
The job is fine. She just doesn't...
She just finds hobbies.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they never, like, make the job seem like the job's the problem. She's the problem. With the job.
And that's the crazy thing, is she's good at her job, but then she stops caring and gets bad at her job.
Because okay. She gets a heart transplant.
She gets a heart transplant.
Sorry to spoil the thing they referenced.
Okay.
The whole movie.
Are you ready? This movie has a twist ending.
Don't even say it.
What?
Don't.
If you follow my Twitter, at Opinion Havers, you will know that I called the end to this movie. And it made me feel more special than any Christmas magic ever has. I was joking around. We were trying to guess what the ending would be because we knew something was going on. And I was like, the Asian guy is the one who gave her her heart and her transplant. And we laughed. And we kept watching the movie. 30 minutes passed by. No. That is exactly what happened. Except it's not a twist ending, Tyler. Want to know why? It's based on a Wham song. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart.
Yeah, because she got her heart transplant last
Christmas. That is the premise of this movie.
Yeah.
This is a movie based on a Christmas song.
Yeah.
It's amazing. This is a perfect movie.
It is. You were coming around to, I'm glad we agree on this, Cody. Here's the thing, Cody. Here's what I need to tell you. I did not see this twist ending coming at all. I even went so far as to when she went to the thing, I thought, what's going on here? When she went to his apartment and the dude was there selling it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what's happening? What's going on?
Yeah.
And then it started to do the thing where all the pieces were coming together. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh. This is how people felt at the end of Sixth Sense. Yeah. It's happening to me right now, which is rare, which was a treat for me personally.
Because
I never get caught off guard by these movies. And it got me. It got me so hard.
Yeah. It has to. Like, for all the ridiculousness of this movie and the what, why and what's, like, it does have a positive message. She's going after all these dudes. She's just having a good time. She doesn't care what's happened. Doesn't care about her job, right? But then she falls in love with her heart donor ghost. And then realizes he is her heart donor ghost and they can't really be in love. And she decides to become a good person instead.
Yeah.
And she gives her time to the homeless. And she starts doing well at her job. And she's nicer to her boss. She gets her boss coffee. She starts singing, but not for the purpose of becoming a West End star. West End is British version of Broadway. You're welcome.
Mm.
But rather to give back to the community. So, I mean, that's cool.
Yeah.
I was really invested in the love story, and I was like, is this going to come around to anything or what? All they did was a little kiss, and that's it. And I'm sick of waiting.
Yeah.
I need the Christmas love story to happen.
Because he's a gentleman who's also dead.
If you were a ghost and your heart was inside a promiscuous woman, would you still, like, would your ghost know? Like, would you still try to hook up or would you not? Because she dropped all the hints, you know? She was like, well, let me come up. Let me lie in your bed. Let's lie down together. This is nice. And he's like, not lying down with you. But we're going to sit here, you know? Like, what about, did he know? Did he understand? He dropped a lot of hints. Or a lot of, like, cryptic clues.
Yeah.
So I'm asking you, what would you do if you were a ghost and your heart was in the body of a woman? And you were having a romance, as it were.
You're asking the same questions that BuzzFeed asked in the article I read right before we started.
Okay.
That is, can he and why doesn't he? And right before that it asks, is he a ghost or an angel? And I think they're all tied together in some form or another.
He's a sexy, angelic spirit.
Because here's the thing, if he's a ghost, then no, he can't, and that's why he didn't. If he's an angel, then yes, he can, but that's he would why lose his he wings. Didn't. Yes.
Or something. But there's like a Nick Cage movie from like the late 90s or early 2000s where he's like an angel, but there's definitely like a sex scene in it, except he has to like give up his angelness or he can never be with her. Do you remember, you know what I'm talking about? Is it called City of Angels?
Yes.
And there's like angels and they're on the beach at sunrise or sunset or something. You know what I'm talking about?
I feel like I do, but I'm not sure.
If you've seen the Nick Cage movie where he's an angel and but he gets to still have sex, tweet me at Opinion Havers. I need to know.
I thought you just said he can't have sex. That's the whole...
No, there is a sex scene, but there's like repercussions for it.
Oh.
Or he can only do it once. Or I don't know, because... Okay, I'm okay. Now you're
referring to the 1998 film City of Angels.
Now I remember, because there's a scene where they do sex, and it's by a fire. Spoiler for City of Angels, and he's like, she's asking him to describe what it feels like.
Nick Cage and
Meg I learned Ryan. A lot in that movie.
When you were what?
I remember he used the word warm. But nothing else. I didn't see it when I was six. I was probably like 10 or like 11. Okay. I would guess.
Here, can I just quick aside to City of Angels? Let me just run you across the scores here. IMDb gives it a 6.7. Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 58%. Voodoo, it has a 4.3 out of 5. It seems like there's a very wide range of different kinds of people watching
this movie. If you want one more curveball, check out the audience score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I'm going in here. Ooh, that's an 82%. 82. That's strong.
I mean, it's got its moments. I wouldn't say it's like a...
We're talking Meg Ryan terrible. At the tail end of her stardom. And... And Nick Cage.
Nicolas Cage. An angel. If you were to cast an angel, what? Leading man, he has to play an angel. Are you going to pick Nick Cage? Is that your first choice?
In 1998, of course. Who else are you going to pick? Anybody? Probably.
Just after seeing Mandy, I just can't do it. I can't give him the role. He's not allowed.
Now, it is double packed with it's got a double feature DVD that you can buy with a movie called Michael starring John Travolta, so that's my answer.
Uh-oh.
I would cast John Travolta as the angel. Cuz I'm pretty sure he plays Michael in Michael. Just based on the cover art here, it's John Travolta, Michael, and there's a
Michael the Archangel. Feather. You're talking about Michael the Archangel.
There's a feather like falling above
from
him.
From the Bible?
I think so.
The very same?
I think so.
Well, that's cool.
I'm just going to throw out a wild guess there.
All right. Okay, here's the one you should cast. Keanu Reeves.
Of course.
Except I think he plays a demon in Devil's Advocate.
Yeah, no. I thought he's the lawyer for the devil.
Oh. Or is the devil his lawyer? No. Yeah, he's a lawyer, and the devil hires him.
But right? It's not actually the devil. I thought it was just a really bad drug lord.
Well, there is a movie where Keanu Reeves double. Interacts with the devil. I think Al Pacino plays the devil.
Yeah, that's the devil's double. That's another movie.
Okay, that's a different movie.
Devil's Advocate is 97. Continue talking about the Christmas movie. I'll let you know on Devil's Advocate.
Is it good luck? So she gets pooed on by a bird, and Asian guy he's British. He's Asian British. He's British/Asian.
Yes.
I forget his name. He's a good actor. He's like, oh, don't worry, that's good luck. Did you know that? Do you know that?
The bird poop thing? Yeah, that's what it was heard.
Always?
Yeah.
I would just laugh at those people a lot.
Have you ever seen someone get pooped on by a bird?
Henry Golding. Do good thing. Yeah. In elementary school, fifth grade, her name was... I think it was Marissa.
Oh my gosh, you reminded me of a thing I heard on... I was listening to a podcast on the way over here, Cody, and I thought, I'm going to bring this up on the podcast. On our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really a podcast.
Are we doing an Inception-style podcast where we discuss podcasts in a podcast?
It's not really a podcast. It was a gameplay, but it was like a golf game, so it was very much a podcast that they were playing up like a golf
game. Well, then it's just a video podcast.
Yes. So I had to go in the car on my drive home, and so they were talking about school. It was Hat Films. That's the name of this guy. It's three dudes talking about school, and two of the guys went to school together. All the way through elementary school and through into university. They all went to university together, right? That's what they call it, university. Because they're British. So they're talking to the outlier, asking him if he had any teachers with funny names. Because one of them said, do you remember Mr. Ferret? And he said, the other one responds, his real name was Mr. Jarrett. his nickname was Mr. Ferret, and they started laughing. And they're like, what about you, Ross? Did you have any teachers with nicknames or anything like that? Any teachers did stuff with? And he's like, not really. Trot, one of the guys is like, you tell me you didn't have a guy named Mr. Bus that you locked in a closet and said you're going to miss the bus? And I started laughing so hysterically that I thought I was going to have to pull over. Because they're saying it with the British accent, so Miss the Bus and Mr. Bus sound exactly the same.
Mr. Bus.
So they locked. So there's layers to it, Cody. They locked their teacher in a cupboard. And then they started chanting, you're going to miss the bus at this teacher. And then they just started going down. And the guy's like, what about Gail Gale, the teacher with two names, first and last name, the same name. It's just like, not to name names, but it's just so funny. I was dying the whole time. But I needed you to know the Miss the Bus thing.
Thank you so much. Miss the Bus.
Because one of them grew up in, like, the epitome. I don't know if you're familiar with the reputation of Swindon, England. Mm-mm. But it's a solidly, like, if you were to describe the town, as far as I could tell from most people, and most descriptions of her, is gray. It's very just kind of like, you know? It's gray and meh in town form.
Nice.
No, it's not nice. It's just kind of
meh. Yeah.
You know? So he didn't get any of this, and the other two were like, just nuts. You know, the shop teacher cut his own thumb off in class. And then got kicked out of the school, I guess, because he hooked up with the textiles teacher.
Oh, you can get fired for hooking up with another teacher?
In the school? Yes.
Really?
Getting caught by students?
Oh, you mean the intercourse occurred inside the school grounds.
Okay. Now, how dare you? They said they did not catch them with intercourse. They caught them making out in a cupboard, which I assume means a closet.
No, like a kitchen cupboard. They had really. That's why it's so easy to catch them. Like, why are there two halves of bodies just sticking out? So two people have stuck their head inside of a cupboard.
Was it the same cupboard they locked Mr. Bus in? Maybe.
Was Mr. Bus in there too? Was it a three-way scenario?
They locked another teacher in a cupboard.
Wow.
So I just needed to share.
If there's one thing I've learned today, it's that English school teachers are frisky.
Yeah, and they get locked in cupboards a lot.
What? I had a teacher ask, and this is in middle school, this teacher, student got in trouble, and she made him go in the closet. But it's not like a real closet. You know those like portable closets that's like plastic, you know, metal? You know, one of those?
Yeah, yeah.
She made him go in there. We're like, is this allowed?
Did she lock him in there?
I mean, the doors were shut.
Yeah, she did.
So.
Yeah.
Is that allowed? I don't know. You tell me. Like, when you're 11 years old, you're kind of just like, I mean, you're the adult. You make the rules.
Here's the thing, Cody. We lived in a special time where we're probably the last age group that ever gets to have, we're definitely the last group. Mm-hmm. That had teachers that did very questionably legal punishments.
Mm, yeah.
Like, I had elementary teachers that still had paddles. Mm. Were they allowed to use them? No one was sure. Did some of them use them? Yes. But no one, even the principal, was really sure if they were allowed to.
Gosh. Ugh.
It was just kind of like, as long as the parents didn't complain. So back to last Christmas.
Here's the thing I noticed most about this movie from the get-go, all right?
Tell me.
This is the thing that drew me in more than anything. And I know, I'm sure people have talked about this, but I've never reviewed, to my knowledge, a film with Emilia Clarke in it.
Yep.
Eyebrow acting. Did it distract you? Have you seen the eyebrows on this woman? They're especially flat and long. And when she makes faces, they point in fascinating directions. When they point up, they're like all the way up. They They make like a little house, like a little teepee on her forehead. Did you notice? That's my question. Did you notice?
Well, I noticed it probably less than you did because of many years of staring at her and her bits, including her eyebrows, through Game of Thrones.
Mm. But I feel like Game of Thrones would be much more muted performance, whereas this, it's a comedy, and she's smiling, and she's laughing, and she's frowning, you know, like...
Cody, you think you would notice the eyebrows less. Cody, let me tell you. So she's got the streak, she's a brunette, but she's got the aggressive highlights, right? But you can tell her hair's really brown.
Yeah.
Bleach, heckin' blonde in Game of Thrones the whole time.
True.
Her eyebrows... super dark.
That's true.
They stand out like beacons.
So,
like the beacons of Gondor.
There's a lot of eyebrow.
Yeah, she could be known for the eyebrow.
She is proficient in brow.
She's also, did you know that she had a stroke and like a significant chunk of her brain is just dead?
What?
Yeah.
When?
She was filming Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that why the ending was bad?
No, that's the guy.
That's
because the guys wanted to get paid for Star Wars instead.
Oh, yeah.
I think they got fired from that.
I just need to know if other people are noticing these eyebrows.
I'm sure people notice the eyebrows. But it's also uncommon to not have watched Game of Thrones. So.
Hmm. Here's my beef with this movie. My biggest beef.
You had beef with this movie?
There is one thing that was clearly an error, maybe even a sin. A sin for which I cannot forgive them.
Oh?
So, remind me, Tyler, what is this movie about? George Michael.
I did not know that until you said it.
They make several references to George Michael. They also point out that it is inspired by the song Last Christmas by Wham, of which George Michael is a member, a founding member and songwriter. Okay.
Also, as Deadpool reminded us, it's pronounced Wham. Wham. Not Wham.
You're right. I'm sorry. They end this movie. What song do they play in the end credits?
Not
a George Michael song. Not a Wham song. Okay. Just some dude. Some song that match. They play a lot of George Michael songs. They reference him a lot. They play a lot of nice songs in the movie. It's a musical movie. You know, there's music in it, right? And then they play some garbage song that has nothing to do with George Michael or Wham in the end credits. It drove me crazy. I was like, what's even the point of making a movie inspired by George Michael / Wham / Last Christmas and not having one of those three things be the final song?
Well,
it stuck out like a sore thumb.
And she sang the song, Cody.
Great. She sang the song. Then how is your end credit song going to be make no sense and not match the tone and be so bad?
Because it was so good.
It was bad.
It was good, Cody. It was so good that you thought it was bad because you didn't know.
It really killed my mood. You know, sometimes they do the end credits and you're like, wow. You know, Ari Aster, we're talking about Midsommar, we're talking about Hereditary. End credit song, it's like, you're like, wow. This really sets a vibe and somehow, you know, is cohesive with everything.
I like his... a quick aside, a shout out to Ari Aster.
All right.
This is why I like his end credit song. It's choices. Because some of them, you watch to the end of those credits, you'll get a creepy song or two.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the initial choice of the music and the tone it sets and the very specifically done, like it's... because it doesn't seem like he doesn't pick a song. It's a song. It's like part of the score of the movie. Is that song? And it's very much like, okay, now we're out of the movie. You're fine. You're not going to get killed by
a
murder cult.
It's like he's cradling you, you know? It's like he's swaddling you, saying like, you're going to be okay. We're going to get through this.
You take like a movie, like which I didn't see, but by reputation, like Winchester.
Yeah.
Which I imagine the end credits song would be like the director coming up behind you and like grabbing your shoulders and being like, you're gonna die tonight. Ari Aster's like, it's like it comes up just rubbing your back and be like, okay, it's fine. It was just a movie. Everything's gonna be okay now.
Yeah. I mean, give it another a example, Rocket Man, the Elton John movie from this year. The ending song, it's one of Elton John's more recent songs that he's wrote. And you're like, oh, I'm reminded that Elton John is still around and is doing well and is doing better than he was during his dark times, you know? And like, that's great.
Yeah. Fun fact.
What?
Elton John?
Rich.
Gay.
Gay.
Likes boys.
Okay. Now let's go back through my list of these musical movies.
Another fun fact, Freddie Mercury,
gay. Elton John, gay. George Michael, homosexual. I don't know what term he prefers.
I don't know. George Michael, he strikes me as, like, people say he's gay, but, you know. I think he's just, you know, he's like, taking it back to Game of Thrones. He's like Prince Oberyn from Game of Thrones. Like, if you're hot, I'm into it. Doesn't matter what anything else about it.
Yeah.
If you're hot, you're hot. If you're not, you're not. That seems like something George Michael would say.
So you didn't notice the George Michael theme?
No. Not even a little bit.
I feel like you missed out on a big part of this movie.
Well, I got the song. But I didn't put together all of the other stuff. I didn't realize how aggressively it was referencing.
What's your favorite George Michael song?
Wait, it's Careless Whisper.
Oh, that's an excellent choice.
I like it.
Mine?
I like singing it seductively to other straight men.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Mine, which is also a good one to sing seductively to straight men, Father Figure. You ever see New Girl? You ever watch that show?
Sometimes.
It's a pretty good show. Ron Funchess does a little cameo. Hold
up. What? Hmm? What was that name again?
Ron Funchess.
Okay.
Does a little cameo, and he plays a homeless man without a shirt who interrupts a date by singing Father Figure very, very sensuously. Anyway, since then, it's been my favorite George Michael song. Father Figure. It's good. So, what else?
Can I just say, so this movie, directed by Paul Feig?
Vague.
It's very vague, you're right, it is vague. and written by, this is the sentence I want to read to you. And written by Byronnie Kimmings and Emma Thompson, who co-wrote the story with her husband, Greg Weiss. So, who wrote the movie?
Well, here's the thing. The story was written by Emma Thompson and Greg Wise.
Okay.
Okay. The screenplay was written by Emma Thompson and Byronnie Kimmings. So you tell me.
Okay.
No, tell me.
I don't know who wrote it.
Greg Wise seems to primarily be an actor. And now I'm wondering, did Emma Thompson write anything else?
I don't know.
She has 17 writing credits, all right? We're talking about additional material for Alfresco. Whoa. We're talking about the screenplay for a movie she starred in, Sense and Sensibility. We're talking about the teleplay for Whit. We're talking about an uncredited credit for additional dialogue for the 2005 rendition of Pride and Prejudice.
Oh.
That means she wrote Nanny McPhee, sir, and I did not know that. She wrote Effie Gray. Bridget Jones' Baby. That's right. The third installment in the Bridget Jones saga that we've all been waiting for.
Wait, Bridget Jones' what?
Bridget Jones' Baby. Oh. Now, what you know is that there's a movie called Bridget Jones' Diary. What you also know is that there's a movie called Bridget Jones, The Edge of Reason. What you do not know is that there is a third installment and it's called Bridget Jones' Baby.
Can I tell you a crazy detail about that?
Please.
It was, in fact, the second one that I did not know existed.
Really?
Yes. That seems like a crazy change. It's Bridget Jones' Diary, Bridget Jones, The Edge of Reason?
Bridget Jones, The Edge of Reason.
What?
My question to you is, which one's your favorite? The correct answer was Bridget Jones' Baby. That's the best one, empirically.
Obviously. It came out exclusively on MTV Spain.
Were you taken aback by the Eastern Bloc accent of Emma Thompson?
A little bit.
Yeah, it took me back. I can't say it was bad. She's a great actress. It was a choice, and I was like, oh. It's one of those things where, like, you know so well that Emma Thompson is British that to see her being a supporting actress doing an Eastern European accent, you're just like, well, I know that's not you. Like, I'm 100% sure that's not your real voice. And so it's distracting for me.
This is what I did in the movie. I did this move. I steepled my index fingers, interlacing my other three on each hand, and pressed my thumbs together.
Mm-hmm.
And I placed the index fingers right below my nose. I inhaled, and I looked a little bit to the side, and I thought to myself, and I may have whispered, is this racist?
Yeah. I had a similar thought, too.
And then I thought to myself, like, is she Yugoslavian? I know she doesn't sound it, but
has she just been pretending to be British this time?
I was like, did her parents flee are her parents from Yugoslavia or something like that? And I was like, no, probably. I don't know. I haven't Googled her parents. I Googled her. She was definitely born in England, at least.
Her father is English and her mother is Scottish. So
she's super British.
Mm-hmm. She's of the United Kingdom, certainly.
Of the British Isles, which is why I said British.
I would definitely agree with you.
So I thought, I've seen the dad also play, you know, Ukrainian people from
Eastern Europe. I assumed, I was like, oh, her mom must have been Yugoslavian. That's what I figured partway through. Like, I figured she has some connection. Maybe she does, but
I don't think she does. I think she just did the accent.
Like, I'm all for anyone can play anybody, you know, like it's actor, you know, she wrote it. It was confusing, distracting.
Yeah. Cause I was like, I mean, I wouldn't. Cause I was like, I was like so confused. I'm like, is it racist that she's so like.
It's like a caricature.
Yeah, like she is a caricature of that kind of person.
And it's like this actress who has been in some excellent films and very serious films. So anyway, I don't
think it's racist because it's like, I mean, it would be like, is it racist if an Asian person eats rice in a movie? It's like, no, because everybody eats rice.
Right.
So they could realistically eat rice. But I'm like, it doesn't feel definitely racist. It feels questionably ignorant.
Questionably ignorant.
I'd say that is a good way to put it. But
I mean, which questionably ignorant in 2019 is like extremely considerate in 2004. Yeah. So I mean, I think it's where the movie kind of feels like it
should come out.
Yeah.
Like, it definitely feels like a movie that didn't come out this year.
So Henry Golding. I mean, also, he's pretty good.
Also,
don't stop.
So the dad is legitimately Yugoslavian.
No, oh.
From Yugoslavia.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you compare Emma Thompson's accent to his accent, I think maybe that's the other thing.
Hers,
like,
is much more intense.
Yeah.
His is much more subtle than like a real Yugoslavian accent.
Where she's playing also, like, his character.
But it's also funny that she's so mournful and like, I remember everything. And he's like, who cares? And it's like, this really comes across at some point as like someone who's pretending to be from Yugoslavia and someone who's actually like fled Yugoslavia, like actually went through everything they're pretending to go through.
Yeah.
Where, you know, she's like mournfully singing the song and he's like, oh, screw that, sing it happy, and sings it all happy and everything, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's funny. But it's good. I liked him. He was the best part. He was really other good. Than the Asian boy, I like him.
I liked Henry Golding's kid. I also liked the shop owner.
Yeah, she's good too.
Actress is named Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah.
And her character name is Santa.
Yeah.
Because, and whatever job she does, she picks an English name that matches that job.
Yeah, which I think brilliant. Amazing, yeah. As some might say.
Yeah. So, sure, you know? You gonna recommend this movie?
Would I recommend this movie?
Uh-huh, yeah. You're looking to get some holiday cheers?
I mean, definitely.
Yeah.
I think it's a whirlwind of emotion. I cried more than once, personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Henry Golding. You got Boris unpronounceable last name. Written by an actress who played Nanny McPhee. The knockoff.
Oh, watch yourself.
It's gone. It's gone from my brain. Mary Poppins.
Okay, but she also plays the real author of Mary Poppins in Saving Mr. Banks. Boom! Mind blown. Did that just blow your mind?
I mean, I knew that.
Yeah, but
I knew it? Because cool. I did not know what Saving Mr. Banks was about. I knew it at the time, and I'd super forgotten, and I recently looked it up because I just saw it on Disney Plus. That's where I saw it, and I thought, what is that movie about? Got it.
I mean, I might recommend this. It's more fun if you don't know the twist and if you've gotten this far.
Do they know the twist at this point, though? We've said it, but I realistically could see someone listening to this point and knowing the twist. Because here's the thing. This podcast has given you, it's just as cohesive and comprehensible as the plot line of the movie itself.
Oh.
Because, so we got there probably 90 seconds after the movie had actually started. Uh-oh. So I missed her initially getting kicked out by her friend.
Yeah.
When you walk in there right after that, which, how far into the movie is that? So she's just getting into the work. For the first time. She's walking to work or something.
3 minutes, maybe.
3 minutes? I felt like we had missed at least half an hour of the movie. I was like,
yeah.
Something has happened. There has been stuff that we have missed. Which I then learned later in the movie because they showed the stuff that I thought we had missed. I thought, oh, we did not miss it. They didn't show it. Mm-hmm. Like, they constantly reference how she was sick. And then they drop it very unceremoniously, it seems. Like, she had a heart problem, I think is what she says or something like that.
Someone says something.
Which, have you ever met someone who had a unique health disorder that when you ask them, they're like, I had this. They're like, oh, yeah, I had a thing with my kidneys. No, they're going to tell you the thing.
Mm, yeah.
And then you're going to say, I don't know what that is. And then they're going to be like, oh, it's just a thing with your kidneys. Or they're going to give you a detailed medical lesson about it.
Yeah.
But it's going to be one of those two. But you're going to get the name of it first. So here's what I want to know. Emma Thompson, what was wrong with her heart? Is it just bad? It was broken?
It was too big.
Blackened?
Or small?
By the evil of Yugoslavia's fall. Former Yugoslavia. Have you ever met someone from Yugoslavia? Because I'd be interested to know if they would refer to it as former Yugoslavia every single time they refer to Yugoslavia.
So help me out here. You got Czechoslovakia.
How dare
you. Which is a combination of the Czech Republic and Slovenia or Yugoslavia?
It's Slovenia, I think.
Okay.
But it's no longer Czechoslovakia.
Right, because now it's the Czech Republic.
No, it's not the Czech Republic
anymore. What is it now?
I'll get you. It's Czechia. Chechnya? Not Chechnya. No.
Chechia.
Hmm. Chechia.
Okay.
And Czechoslovakia is like a sovereign state within Chechia.
Oh.
I think. I'm really it's going off of Google searches at this point.
Uh-oh. Like it's fast and loose.
I know. Chechnya is a new thing. It's like North and South Sudan. It's very new. It's right there near Germany. Mm. I know that much. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Czech Republic, also known by its short form named Chechnya. How dare you? They made a huge deal. Slovakia is to the east. So if I said it, Slovakia was part of it, I was wrong. Did I say that?
No, what I said was I thought it used to be Czechoslovakia, and then it's been since separated.
Here's the thing.
Yugoslavia.
Yugoslavia.
Czechoslovakia. Slovenia. Where do they all... Where... Which one? Which? We're getting into a Holland-Netherlands scenario here, and I'm not comfortable.
Yugoslavia. Okay. So Yugoslavia turned into Croatia, Slovenia, Macedonia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Serbia, and Montenegro.
I always get confused as to where Croatia is. Because I looked it up after the World Cup, and then it was like a totally different spot.
Croatia is the one where it's like they have all the beach of Bosnia.
Oh, they sure do.
You remember that one? It's like Bosnians, I want to go to the beach.
And it goes like a narrowing strip where it goes from like, oh yeah, it's like, yeah, a big old chunk of land. And then it gets narrower and narrower, just narrow enough and long enough to take up their entire beach.
It looks like a dragon head eating Bosnia. And
it does.
Herzegovina. I know it's way simpler than it looks like it is. It's like Herzegovina or something like that. It's like something you say real fast. That's what I know about that. Okay, so today it is part of all the things that I said, but it's part of North Macedonia. Did they split Macedonia? Why wasn't I informed? When did it happen? Now we're just in the geography part.
What I've learned from all this is that Greece is more eastern than I thought.
Here's what they know. They declared independence from Yugoslavia in 1991. That's why I was not informed. It wasn't on the mailing list at that point. Here's what I need you to do. Look at Macedonia. Zoom in real close on that country there.
All right, I got Montenegro. I got North Macedonia.
Okay. Look at it. Zoom in real tight. Real tight on there.
Yep.
They conquered most of the world at one point. Just want to throw that down in there real quick. Just want to remind you of that. The real thing is out of all this, you know, you got Montenegro, which Serbia and Montenegro were one big country at one point, and then they split, and I feel like Montenegro got boned in the split, because it was like, it'd be like saying Italy and Vatican City were one country and equally part of the same country, and then they split. But they got equal share. It's like, you know, one's inside of another city and one's most of the country.
My question is, how much did this movie cost?
Oh.
And I need you to look it up because I have a guess.
Oh, I've looked it up.
My guess, and you know, I'm just throwing this out there because this could be so wrong that it's not even funny.
Oh, it'll be funny.
I am going to guess this cost $12 million to make and has made $45 million.
You are so dumb.
How much?
I'm pulling it back up so I can give you the exact.
Because it's not like number. Emma Thompson is the screenwriter, okay? It's not like they got a huge cast. It's not like there's any action involved. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're talking Hallmark level, like half a step up from Hallmark production value. So what? I guess the music rights, maybe? Okay, just tell me.
Okay, so you guess $12 million? Yeah. I'll tell you, you need to either at least double it or half it. Which do you think? It's either half that much or double that much. Which do you think it is?
Let's just go for broke. No, okay. It can't be half. It can't be half. No, if it's half, so I'm going to fall out of my chair. What's your official... Double it. I'm okay. Doubling down.
It's $25 million to make it.
How much did it make?
What'd you say? What was your guess?
42? 48? What'd I say? 42.
All right, I'll say the same thing. You need to either double it or have it.
It's made... It's been up against some big movies.
So it's either made into the 80s or the 20s.
20s. It just... Did it flop?
Made $86.5 what? Million. Dollars.
What? This movie?
This movie.
It's pretty good. That is pretty not too... Well done.
That's a pretty good ROI right there.
I will say, what are the other Christmas movies throwing their hat in the ring? You know? Like, if someone wants to watch a Christmassy movie in the theaters...
Frozen.
We're calling Frozen a Christmas movie now?
It's about ice.
Anything with winter? You're telling me Revenant is a Christmas movie?
Yes.
How dare you, sir?
Look. If Die Hard is a Christmas movie, which it is.
It takes place at Christmas. There are Christmas songs. Name the Christmas song in Frozen.
Let It Go.
Two, sir. Frozen 2.
I have
you no, heathen.
I haven't even seen Frozen 1 all the way through.
I don't think Frozen is like as good. Like the Disney movies of our childhood. I think like Lion King is a much better movie than Frozen. I think Frozen's like a good movie. Frozen yeah. 2 as well is also a good movie. But they're yeah. not like... It's not Lion King.
Yeah.
I'm out of here. I'm saying it. I'm dropping truth bombs. And you guys are the ones who are going to have to deal with the fallout. Mulan, better. Hercules, definitely. Maybe a little worse.
No. How dare you. I love Hercules.
Here's the thing about Frozen movies, all right? All I need is more Olaf. I don't care at all about Elsa, even a little bit. Kristoff, cool. Anna, great. Elsa's the worst part about those movies, and I don't know why she's the poster child for them. I mean, Idina Menzel is a good singer, blah, blah, yeah. blah, but, like, her character sucks for sure.
How dare you?
And the rest of the cast is, like, the fun and the heart and soul of those movies. She's just the plot device because she's got the powers and the angst. Anyway, thanks for listening to our last Christmas podcast. I mean, if you're looking for a Christmas, you might as well check it out, you know? Like, if you're looking for a fitting tribute to George Michael, it's like, yeah, go, I guess. I mean, yeah, sure, why not? Why not? Are there better movies to see? Yes. Are there more artful and impactful movies? Yes. Are there other Christmas movies? We decided no. Not one other Christmas movie. This is the one. Go see it, I guess. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
That's all there is to say.
I mean, yeah.
We covered it all. Geography. Frozen. What else? What else is there?
If you're from former Yugoslavia, do you use the former every single time? Or do you every once in a while just say, from Yugoslavia? Or do you say... Your family fled Yugoslavia, not you're from Yugoslavia. But rather than someone say, where's your family from? Well, they fled from Yugoslavia. Do you say like, it like that?
Yugoslavia and Slovenia are different countries. The Slav throws me off.
Oh, she does both, doesn't she? That's right. They both do. They all do both. Who? What even is real life? Okay, he's an Uber driver or a taxi driver, but he's using his own car. But she calls him, and then he hates everything, but he's just kind of like, they really make out like, oh, you know, the everything is going to get better, but it's really nothing gets better. She just kind of learns to deal with kind of her sucky life.
Yeah.
She has kind of a suck life. She learns to deal with it.
She learns to be nice to people, I guess.
Also, this is a very barista in Portland situation. Isn't London one of the most
expensive cities in the world?
Isn't, like, the only thing that beats it San Francisco?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I know San Francisco is the most expensive in the U.S. London is crazy expensive.
Yeah. She lives in London. Her parents live outside London.
Keep in mind, though, she literally doesn't have a residence. She just sleeps around or couch surfs.
But her parents live so close, you could, like, walk to London, to downtown London from their house.
Yeah.
Because 20 miles is walking distance in the UK. We all know that.
That's a good point.
Also, everything about this movie... It's amazing.
It is a fascinating production.
It really is. It's worth seeing just so you can marvel at. It's a Hallmark movie with a budget roughly 10 times that of a Hallmark movie.
And with much bigger names.
Would it have been better if Kevin Sorbo had been in it? Yes.
Here's the thing, though. Who is that? Cody. I think we nailed it. I think this is one of our best episodes to date.
Look, we all learned something. That's what you could say. If nothing else, you probably learned something, even if it's wrong.
And here's what correct. I learned. Kevin Sorbo is an actor.
He is an actor. He played Hercules.
He's got several children. Brayden, Octavia, Shane... I think he's written books.
Oh, definitely. They're probably real weird.
Kevin Sorbo, this one goes out to you. Thanks for listening. Where can they share us, Tyler?
They find us. They can do it all. Rate us. Do all the things on all the podcast services. iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher.
And if you want to get a hold of me or us at Opinion Havers, I'm here to listen to your thoughts, your questions, your concerns. Slide into my DMs. Oh, thanks, Kev.
But until next time,
watch movies
and have opinions.
Hey, Google. Is London the most expensive city to live in?
On the website Forbes.com, they say, London is the UK's most expensive city, but it has dropped 4 places from 19th to 23rd. UK cities fall in this year's ranking is mainly due to a strengthening of the US dollar against the pound, says Kate Fitzpatrick, Mercer's global mobility practice leader for UK and Ireland. To find out more, look for the link in your Google Home or Google Assistant app.
I will do that. Thank you, Google.
Now we know.
These are the world's most expensive cities to live. Ollie Williams.
I'm going to cut you off.
Who is a senior?
Now.
Nope, don't you dare. Who is a senior contributor? Oh, okay. Wealth management. First on the list. It's not a list, it's an article. And
you failed me, Cody.
I am very disappointed.
Cody, you failed me.
London keeps failed.
What's more, you've disappointed our listeners.
I am ashamed, if that helps.
Good.